Hi. So I think we're going to start now. We're giving 2 minutes for people that are coming. I think that they told me that this morning is quite busy outside. So anyway, thank you for attending this session, the last day of TechEd. And I understand that it's pretty early in the morning, and maybe most of you went out last night to the party or maybe to enjoy Barcelona, which is a great city. So thank you for being here again. This is my presentation, Large Meetings, Best Practices, Large Meetings with Link, 2013. My name is Sandra Martinez. I'm a communications TSP here. I work in Microsoft Spain. I'm based in Madrid, and I've been working for Microsoft for the last 5 years, okay? So I'm mainly doing pre-sales activities for all the customers in Spain, in the territory of Spain, okay? So we're gonna start right now. Okay. What are the session objectives and the key takeaways that I am when after attending this meeting, you should be able to recall, you know, to have in mind? So first of all, I want you to understand how Link 2013 supports meetings of up to 1,000 users. Okay, so this is quite new in the latest release, Link 2013, and I'm going to show you how it works. So what infrastructure do you need in order to put in place to support these kind of large meetings, how to organize the meeting, and then I'm going to give you some best practices that you can take away for running this type of meetings. And of course, if you're running or you're managing, you're in charge of meetings that are not so big, you know, like having 1,000 users simultaneously. Okay, so I hope you enjoy the session, and we're gonna start. So actually, what is the definition of a large meeting within Link 2013? Okay, so first we can start to talk about the different types of meetings that we can have with the Link 2013. So you know there are two versions of the solution. One is in Link Online, and what is Link Server 2013 on-premise deployment, okay? Deploying different servers. So mainly, I just wanted to highlight that the meetings, the large meetings, up to 1,000 users simultaneously collaborating in this meeting are supported in the on-premise solution, okay? We will talk about it later. So first, the first type of link meeting should be the ad hoc meeting. This is the easiest meeting that you can have. Normally, you will go to your link client, look for someone, one colleague, start an IM session. You talk to this guy. You do upgrade or escalate to video session, then you might share your desktop or collaborate sharing some content, okay? Then in the same session, you can invite one or two more colleagues, so it can be, it becomes a meeting, you know, held by collaborating two or three people in that meeting. So there you don't have to schedule or organize anything at all because it's just a real-time meeting, okay? Then the second type of meetings, these are the scheduled link meetings, and this is more like the usual type of meeting that we normally are used when we use Link, okay? So here is where Link 2013 is the best performing, okay, doing the link meetings, because we can have in our deployment many of these type of meetings running simultaneously, and that works well, you know, with within the deployment. So what you do there, normally an example, will be a team meeting where your manager perhaps organizes the meeting, invites the people that are going to attend, chooses who's going to be the presenter, who's going to be the attendee, who's going to share content, and then it goes to his Outlook, to his email, and prepares the invite. We will see that later, how to do it. Invites the people that are going to be collaborating in the meeting, and that's it. Once you get the invitation, all the people just clicking the URL that is just one click, a join link meeting, then everybody is in the meeting instantly. It's very easy, and then everybody's collaborating. So this is where, as I said before, Link is best solution, and it's easy to do these kind of meetings, okay? Then there's a third type of meetings, which are so-called the managed meetings. And these are not like a type of meeting, but it's a behavior. Normally, these kind of meetings are, for example, when there's just one presenter, okay? Just that would be the speaker, and the rest of the audience that is participating in the meeting are connecting maybe remotely, you know, from their PCs, from their Link clients, or they are attending in the same room. So there's one presenter, that is talking to the audience, and then he might be sharing normally his video, and he will share the content, and the rest of the people are just attendees, listening to what the speaker is saying and just watching the slides, okay? Examples of these could be Link meetings organized for webinars, for training purposes, where there will be a fair amount of people collaborating and being in the same Link meeting. So above 20, 50 users and so on. Also, we can have an example of these meetings, the meetings, the company meetings. Here in Microsoft, we have once a month or once every 2 months these kind of meetings where the CEO, the general manager, talks to us. So this could be a great example of these kind of meetings, okay? And there's the fourth type of meeting, which is what you see there, so-called white glove, and this is the large meetings, so the meetings that we will manage and then we will set up for up to 1,000 users. No, so we here in this session, we're going to deal with these kind of meetings. Okay. So, talking a little bit about things more technically. Okay, what do we need to prepare? You know. In the deployment, in our deployment of Link 2013 servers, in order to be able to support this kind of 1,000 simultaneous users. So first of all, I hope you are familiar with the Link deployment on-premise. To summarize or to simplify it, normally we will have to deploy a number of different Link pool servers, and those pool servers you see here in the slide, pool A, pool B, pool C, they are built by, or they hold what we call the Link front-end servers, and those front-end servers are the real servers that manage and control all the features that we have in the Link 2013 deployment, and all the users, Link users, will be enabled to have and enjoy Link, and they will be homed in one of these different pools, okay? So, normally, Link 2013 server deployment is designed, the architecture is designed to support meetings by default up to 250 users simultaneously. So, if you are preparing and you are managing one of these meetings that is up to 250 users, you don't need to do anything additionally in your Link deployment, because Link Server 2013 is designed to support many of these meetings up to 250 users simultaneously. So there's no special infrastructure deployment requirements, okay? Then, if you wanna prepare or organize meetings from 250 users simultaneously joining that meeting up to 1,000, here you have to add more infrastructure to your Link Server 2013 deployment. So we're gonna see what do you need, in fact. So you will have to deploy a dedicated link pool for this purpose, and the only service that will be supported or configured provisioned in that pool of servers, it will be the conferencing, the MCU service in that pool. So as I said before, a link pool is comprised of link front-end servers. You just need to deploy one link front-end server and the back-end server, the back-end SQL server that hosts all the database, all the data for the users, okay? This is if you just want to have a standalone deployment for the dedicated pool, for the large meeting pool. If you want to deploy it with your company requires to have high availability, then you will need to deploy two link front-end servers in that pool along with the two SQL servers at the back-end, okay? And of course, if the company is very strict and they require to have disaster recovery, you will have to duplicate that infrastructure in a second data center, okay? The rest of the servers, if you are familiar with the Link 2013 deployment, that are needed when we arrange or we manage Link meetings, for example, the Office Web App server, if you are familiar with that server, the purpose of that server is just to be able to upload content, PowerPoint slides during the Link meetings, and to have the best experience during the meeting. All the people that are collaborating in these meetings will see in a optimized way the PowerPoints. Okay, so those servers, the Office Web App servers, can be used or can be the dedicated pool for large meetings can use those Office Web App servers that already are part of the initial deployment, okay? So there's no need to deploy an additional Office Web App server. Also, this is the same as the rest of the components. For example, if you wanna log your CDRs, your reports, the users that have joined this large meeting, the monitoring server, you can reuse the existing monitoring server, okay, and the SQL backend SQL server dedicated for the monitoring service, monitoring role that is already deployed in your organization, okay? Along also with the archiving server, the archiving role, if that succeeds initially in your deployment, then it can be reused by the new dedicated pool for large meetings. I tell you that the archiving server, what it's the function dedicated for large meeting is just to be able to archive the IM sessions that take place in that meeting and also the content that is being shared. So this is quite useful in order that you will go back or the administrator can go back to retrieve all this content that was shared during the meetings, okay? So normally the users, as I say, they are homed in the different pools. What do we have to do next when we deploy this? We have all the infrastructure for our dedicated pool in the topology of the Link server deployment. We have to configure or we have to provision a dedicated meeting organizing account, okay? So this should be a dedicated account in order to organize this kind of large meetings up to 1,000 users, okay? And that meeting account, that meeting organizer account has to belong or has to be registered in the dedicated pool for large meetings, okay? So the organizer will be always in that pool. We will see later what is better. For example, if in your LinkedIn 2000 deployment have a dedicated, unique meeting organizer account, or for example, Sandra, my account in the Link server, if I have a need or requirement to arrange, organize one of these large meetings, maybe I can go and to the Link administrator of the Link deployment and ask him to move me from my initial pool to the large meeting pool. So then I have the rights to organize one of these large meetings. We will see what is better or what is recommended, you know, to move standard user accounts to the dedicated pool or just have one dedicated meeting organizing account to have the role to organize all these kind of meetings, okay? And then when we have that that account, we will apply and we will configure provision a new conferencing policy with different attributes set up, and we will tell you what are the recommendations on the attributes to that you should provision and the policy to that meeting account. Okay. So that being said, if I wanna me as a user or I wanna prepare or organize one of these large meetings, I will use the meeting organizer account. I will prepare the previous activities in order to schedule that meeting. So normally the Outlook invite for the Link meeting, and then when the meeting is going to take place, so I can be moved to that, my account can be moved to the pool, dedicated pool, okay? And when we initiate the large meeting, okay, all the services, all the roles, all the processing for that large meeting, okay, will be taking place in the dedicated pool for the large meetings, okay? So everybody that is an attendee will go to the pool C here in the example, which is our new dedicated pool, okay? So I'm gonna go right now, well, I think I explained this. This is the activities that the Link administrator has to do, okay? So what we said, we have dedicated meeting, a large meeting organizer, the account that is home in the new pool, the large meeting pool. And then we have to configure or provision, as I said, the meeting policy. How do you do that? Well, you can do it two ways. You can go to your Link control panel, the GUI interface, and then you go to, you provision your new CS conferencing policy, or you can do it via PowerShell commands. Either way is possible for these activities, okay? So those types of configuring is supported. So here we have our conferencing policy. First of all, what do we have to do? So we give a name, an identity, so large meeting, a name for our new policy. And the first thing that we have to do is the configure the allow large meetings attribute set to true. Okay, so what do we mean when we configure this attribute to true? So we do three things with this, okay? So for the purpose of the large meeting, okay, that we're gonna have, this implies three things. First, the first thing that we are gonna have or that's gonna happen in the large meeting that We're not going to have the experience of the video gallery during the meeting, okay? So we won't have the five continuous video sources from the most active speakers, okay? It would be just supported the video source of the active speaker, just one, okay? The second thing that we are not able to support in the large meeting experience is that we will hide the roster where you see all the list during the meeting. You see the list of the people that are being in that that are collaborating in that meeting. So you don't see the participant list. That's hidden. Okay, we will take a, we will see a small demo afterwards. And the third thing is that the IM messages, the IM error, messages errors that will take place during the large meeting experience will be disabled. Okay, so normally this kind of messages are, well, this person couldn't have the IM session, and that causes a lot of traffic. Okay, this is just mainly server traffic, so those IM messages are disabled. The errors itself, you know, that normally occur when there's a lot of people joining one of these meetings, okay? So that being said, we have our large meeting attribute to true, set to true, then allow multi-view. It can be changed, but as I told you, if you put it to true, and you have a large meetings, allow large meetings set to true, the experience will be you won't be having the multi-view or the gallery view during the large meeting. So you can change it, but it would be not supported in this kind of large meetings. The attribute, allow annotations. This is where if the speaker or the presenter uploads a PPT, the other presenters or attendees can mark things in within the in the PPTs. If you have 1,000 people, up to 1,000 people joining, collaborating, and they are, you know, putting notes in your PPTs, that can cause a lot of traffic and it could be messy. So the recommendation is that you just set that attribute to false, okay? You don't allow annotations to people. Normally you are the one that speaks, and you control the meetings and you don't the meeting, and you don't want people to mess up your presentations. The same to allow polls. This is useful. For example, you're in a webinar or a training session, or as I told you, at a company meeting, you can put that enable that attribute, set it to true or false. It could be useful to have a survey during that meeting. Okay. But as I said before, if your network traffic, I mean, if your network bandwidth is not so good, that's going to generate extra traffic that it might spoil your large meeting experience. So sometimes you it's recommended to put it to false. Sorry. Enable application desktop sharing. That's not going to be able. We're not going to be able to do desktop sharing for these sessions. Allow conferencing recording. That can be set either to true or false, whatever you want. If you want to record this kind of meetings, you are required for the company requirements, then it's fine. Some of these kind of meetings, the company meetings, the CEO talking and giving private messages, maybe you require that the recording is not allowed by anyone, by any presenter, so it's better that you mark these two false in advance. And then you can play around also with the quality of the video source that the speaker, the presenters will share during that meeting. So you can set the resolution of the video during the conferencing to either CIF, VGA, or a high definition, whatever you want. Okay, along if you have a good network bandwidth experience, you can put it to HD and that the experience in the large meeting will be perfect, okay? And then the last setting, the last attribute, the maximum meeting size. So normally you will put it to the limit, the maximum limit here, which is 1,000. 1,000 is the supported maximum numbers of people that join the large meeting simultaneously, and that applies to Link server deployment, okay? Currently, Link Online version only supports the default one, which is 250 users simultaneously joining and having the experience of a meeting. So this is like a preset value, okay? What do I do? What is experience if I say, okay, I just want to put it not to 1,000, but to configure to provision this attribute to 700 users, okay? So if I organize a meeting of, let's say, 700, and I think that there will be 700 users simultaneously joining the conference, if there's one more joining the conference, 701 attendee to the conference, that user will be allowed to join the conference, okay? And that user will have an error message: sorry, you are not allowed to join the conference. The meeting has reached the maximum simultaneous users that can participate in it. So recommendation is, okay, you leave it to the maximum limit, which is 1,000, and you will be fine, okay? So here's a view of, okay, we have set up, provisioned the attributes of our conferencing policy, and then we have to apply it. Where do we apply it? Okay, so there's three ways to apply it, or three types that are supported. You can apply it, as we said before, to that large meeting organizer account, okay, that we said before. So you apply it per user, okay? It can be applied per site, okay, so for the site, the complete site of one city where we deploy a Link server, when we have the Link server deployment, or globally to the whole Link configuration. So the recommendation is just you apply it to the user and you won't have problems. So that means that just the meeting organizer account has these settings, okay, and not the rest of the users. And again, you can configure either via Link control panel, as it's showed here, or via PowerShell commands. The way you are used to do this, it will work. Then we go, after we have all our infrastructure working and deployed, we have the Link administrator, the administrator has created the account, the conferencing policies set up. Then we can have the activities, okay? We are in the moment of creating or scheduling, organizing the meeting. Okay, so what are the activities that we have to do, okay? In order to book the meeting, to send the invite, okay? So remember that the account, the user account that has to organize the meeting through the Outlook, his Outlook or his email solution, would be the account which is the large meeting organizer account, okay? So that's the first thing that we have to do. Then we go to our Outlook and we create the Link meeting invite. So we have a button with the Link adding that is installed in the Outlook. So that will be really easy. We will create a new meeting space. So here in the new meeting space, we click Link options and we will be able to set up who are the presenters, how the users will enter our large meeting, and we will configure the different options on what is the experience that the users, the attendees, will have during the meeting and when they join the meeting, they join the meeting, okay? There's one thing that we will explain later, which is a recommendation. You normally, if you're used to organize link meetings, it's just the when you organize the meeting invite, you have the join link meeting URL. You might go and say, okay, I have this. This is my dedicated space for the meeting. I can copy this URL, send another type of another email, and reuse that join link meeting URL. We recommend you don't do that because the experience that the users will have later is not the best experience, okay? I will show you later. Okay, so we're going to see right now a small demo on how to go and configure a link meeting. Okay. So here we go to our Outlook. So I'm the admin of this. For the purpose of the demo, I'm going to use a Link Online tenant. Okay, so I hope we have a good network condition here and we can experience a good link meeting experience. Okay, so so I go to my Outlook and I go to New Items. In the meeting, I can go from here, whatever you want, or I can go to my calendar. And this is easier. I go to new link meeting, so I generate the invite. Okay, so the minute I do that, appears the URL. This is where I will click, you know, when I say, when I have the invitation, all the attendees will click and then will immediately go to the link client or wherever experience, the link web app experience, they will participate and join the meeting. Once we have that, as I said, we have to set up the meeting options, okay? So this is important. And here, since it's a Link Online experience, we have just restricted or limitations how to configure these meeting options. I'm going to switch. This is the Link Online version, and you will see what are the difference if I decide to configure my meeting options in Link Online or in Link On-Prem. Okay? So the experience in Link On-Prem, as you see, is first of all, we have the option of where do I want to have my meeting, my link meeting online. Okay, so there are two options: to create a new meeting space or to have my dedicated meeting. Okay, so if I choose one of those, I'm going to tell you what's the best experience. For example, if I go to and click my dedicated meeting, the options that you see below, which are people don't have to wait in the lobby, who's a presenter, and do you want to limit the participant, will be grayed out. So you don't really have the option to configure those, okay? And what is a dedicated meeting space? So it's that the organizer always uses the same meeting space. It's the same URL, you know, that it's sending for all the meetings. So this is not a good idea, for example, if you're a manager, you have a manager, my manager, he's working from 9 to 6 and he's having all day link meetings for 1 hour, and he prepares, the organizer schedules his meetings from 9 to 10, 10 to 11, and there are different teams joining that meeting. So if my manager sends and schedules this kind of invitations, okay, using dedicated meeting, it means that he will use the same space. So at the meeting that he has, the first meeting from 9 to 10, at 10 o'clock, he hasn't finished this meeting, there will be people, you know, that were invited to a second meeting joining the same experience. So you're going to have like a mixture of people that you don't really want to collaborate together. So it's better that you, or we recommend that you use a new meeting space every time you schedule a meeting. then you will be able to configure or provision the rest of the attributes. Okay. So here in link meeting, in link online meeting experience, why don't we have the option of to have my dedicated meeting? So it's very simple. In link meeting online, every time the user schedules a new meeting, by default he will have a different meeting space reserved in the link online tenant. Okay, so this is quite useful. You will just have to configure a different meeting when you go to link options. So the first parameter is I decide how the attendees will join the meeting. So here we have the options or only me, people from my company, anyone on my organization, or anyone. So I would say anyone, no restrictions. If I say only me or, you know, people I know from my company, it means that if there's someone else joining the meeting that is not, that does not belong to my company, they will have to wait in a lobby. So this is where they have to wait there, and there will be someone, the moderator, that will have to admit these people, you know, every time they join the meeting. So for the purpose of our large meeting, if we are organizing a meeting for up to 1,000 users, it's up to you if you really want to put people in the lobby, and every time there's one user joining, you will have to admit it. If you have someone else helping you, that would be useful. Otherwise, recommendation, anyone can enter. Then, who's the presenter? So again, here, we will choose who's the presenter, okay? And first of all, I forgot, okay? You need to invite the people, okay? You want to invite. So here, since it's Halloween time, I declare a tenant which is called Halloween, and I want, you know, all my friends, you know, to join a party that we're going to have tonight. So we're going to have a fun time. And so I'm going to invite Freddie, Herman. I want my friend Wolf to join the party, and maybe this guy, Mommy, okay? So here we have the attendees, okay? So first of all, this is what you will have to do. So you will have all your distribution list with the participants. And now I can choose who's the presenter. So here, it's better that you choose one or two presenters that are gonna helping you during the meeting, not everybody, okay? Because if everybody is a presenter, you will have problems, and maybe these presenters can spoil your meeting experience because they are allowed to upload content which you don't really want the people attending the meeting to go and control and upload content. So I'm going to put Herman and Freddie as presenters. And then the last thing that I have to do is just to configure the participants will join. Okay, so normally you can do disable IM. They enter with the audio muted, or you can also block the video source. So it's a good experience, okay, that everybody enters the meeting muted, so you have just one audio experience. And then you can block the attendees video again if you think that the network conditions in your company are not so good, so anybody cannot participate with video. Again, in large meetings, there will be just one source, which will be the presenter, okay? Video source, so this is not so important. One thing important is that if you click disable IM, okay, This means that the participants during the meeting won't be able to IM and communicate via IM during the meeting. And that this parameter cannot be changed during the meeting experience. So it's important that nobody will communicate through IM. So if you click it, that cannot be enabled again during the meeting. Those, the other parameters, mural and video, they can be changed, okay? So I leave it like this, and I put the subject, and that's it, okay? So I send the invitation. So for the purpose of the meeting, I had already another meeting prepared, okay? So I can join the meeting, and you will have the experience, okay? You will see the experience. I will have all my colleagues, okay? Here's another experience, okay? And for the purpose of the meeting, okay? So here I'm joining as the organizer. I have Freddy Krueger who's in the meeting. I have a guest that has joined with the LingWebApp experience, okay? So it's called Monster, okay? And you can see that the experience from the LingWebApp client through web, it's the same experience as we have with the meeting with the Link client on the PC. So we can have initiate video, okay? And you will see the video from Monster here. So you have audio, video, and content through LingWebApp, okay? So this is a perfect experience, okay? And I'm gonna put a third one in here. So you can see that. Okay, so you see our participants, you see the attendees, okay? One cool option is you see here the gallery view, because this is for the demo purpose. You won't see that experience in the large meeting. So you will have probably the speaker view. You will see your video over there. Okay, you have the content, you will see later. If I go to gallery view, what I can do is just put in a separate window the video experience, the video gallery experience, and I could do it in a presenting mode, so that could be nice, okay? A nicer view if you really want to have just the video experience. So this is options that if you don't know, they're quite useful. Now I can put it in the same window and you have the experience, okay? So, what else? I'm going to leave the meeting running. Ah, I lost the, sorry. One other interesting things when you have to manage or you have to arrange large meetings, okay? And this is important because, for example, in my experience in Microsoft, nobody does that. You know, we have a meeting with the general manager, and we will prepare the meeting the way I showed you, you know? So sometimes the administrator, the organizer, even doesn't click to mute an audience of the people that are joining. So we are all presenters, for example, so I can go and upload content, you know, to the content that my boss is presenting. So this is kind of dangerous. So here, things, important things that have to be taken in place where you prepare a meeting for a large meeting audience, okay? So for these kind of large meetings, which are called white glove, okay? So like the best experience you have, this is the recommended settings, so really you have to have the IT or the link administrators taking or the audiovisual staff, you know, preparing these kind of meetings. So what is recommended, okay? For the purpose of administrating the link meeting, the large link meeting in the room, that you have four different accounts taking, managing the experience of the large meeting, okay? So what it's going to be shared during the meeting, okay? So why four different accounts in Link and not just one? I go and I join the experience from four different PCs. So as you know, for example, one user, one account. I have many different clients, for example, my PC client, my tablet client, my mobile Link client. When I join a Link meeting, I can only join from one client. And if I move to, let's say I want to join the experience, I'm in the Link client PC joining the Link meeting, and if I change and I try to join from my Link mobile client, it means that I will be get out from the Link PC experience. So therefore, what you need is two different accounts, Link accounts, you know, joining and managing, arranging the large meeting experience. Okay, so normally you will have these four accounts already provisioned. And for the example here, the first account with one PC, and the first account will be in charge of the audio and video experience during the large meeting in the room, okay? So normally, what you would do, like here, you plug in the audio cable, okay, to the input of the PC, and you will also put the input of the webcam that is going to be transmitting the video from the speaker. Okay, so this is one first account taking charge of the audio and video experience during the meeting. And normally, this account won't be the organizer of the meeting. It would be a separate account. A presenter, all of these four accounts, recommendation is to be presenters, but not this PC to be the organizer of the large meeting. Okay, so the large meeting account that we talked before, the recommendation is just to be presenter. A second PC with the user account in charge of presenting the content, okay, during the meeting. Full screen, so everybody has the experience of the content that is being shared that the speaker is talking about. So that PC will have that task during the Link meeting. And there will be a guy dedicated to, you know, upload, well, or to show or to share the content in full screen, okay, as you see in the example. A third PC, a third account. And this account will have the experience of a remote user, okay, an attendee, watching the slides or watching the content. So he has this user has the experience of if it's everything going okay, maybe, you know, if you have bad network conditions, sometimes the attendees don't see at the same time the slides, you know, that the presenter is showing. So if there's a presenter goes from changes the deck, you know, goes from one slide to the other one, it could be a delay on the rest of the attendees because of the network conditions, and maybe this is not the best experience. So we have to have someone in charge of monitoring what's going on with the content and if everything is going okay. Okay, if there are problems, then he will have to call it out. And then the fourth account, important. Okay, so that would be the moderator that is in charge of muting the attendees or giving, okay, if someone wants to speak and to make a question, so unmute that attendee. Also, He will be in charge of maybe Q&A questions. We will see the feature that is cool feature that Nick Meeting has in order to do questions from the audience and answers. Also, maybe uploading other PPTs during the meeting experience, so changing presenter one to presenter two, those kind of activities. So as you see, we have a complex, we have to take care seriously the meeting experience, you know? Okay, so this is an example. This is the way that in Redmond, people do and prepare these kind of large meetings. And this is what we see here. I think it's Steve Ballmer over there still, and the speakers. There's a video camera recording the experience. You see the PC down there that is showing in full screen the video. So he has the person has seen the best experience that it's broadcasting during the meeting. The other guy on the left is showing is taking care of the content that is being shared, so it's monitoring that the content is being shared properly, and the audio guy with the moderator there. As you can see, they're just sharing the content in the big screens over there, okay? And normally there will be a lot of people in the room and many other, up to 1,000, so joining the large meeting remotely, okay? And things, recommendations that you have to take in place, the audio, video devices have to be the ones that are approved, that are certified, okay, to be used with Microsoft Link. So you go, there's a link, public link, where we show there where are the vendors of audio and video devices that are certified by Microsoft to work. So you go and you use those approved devices. And also, in order to have dedicated capture devices for audio, video, here's some examples that you could use, okay? So I think I'm running out of time. These are, I'm going to tell you a little bit because I want to do a second demo, okay? The large meeting best experience. We already went through the best practices that recommend while you schedule the meeting, okay? You invite, you do your invite. We said, if you're going to do the large meeting, you're going to organize the large meeting above 250 users, then you go to your link administrator and say, okay, please give me the rights to use the meeting organizer account for the large meetings, and then you will schedule that meeting. Or if you're allowed to be moved to dedicated large meeting pool, you will be asked to, you know, move my link user account to that pool. Okay. One thing it's important to say that when I do the schedule, I schedule the meeting, the user doesn't, at that time, you know, maybe 3 or 4 days or 1 week before the meeting experience, you don't need to be home in the dedicated large meeting pool. You just have to be moved the time that the large meeting is gonna take place, okay? So that action perfectly can be done later. I can schedule it, and then I will be moved to the large meeting, and the user account will be moved to the dedicated large meeting pool, and all the resources, the link meeting resources, will be moved to that or held in that dedicated pool. What else? Backup presenter. We already talked about it, and the meeting in advance. Activities to do before the meeting. So, we will see this in a small demo. Okay, so you put up the content. Maybe if you want to share videos, taking care of video options if you're going to use webcam or maybe a better video cam with better quality, upload the meeting content. You will just be able, in the large meeting experience, to share PowerPoint content. Here, more best experience you take in place. So normally what you will do is upload the content. Okay, we will see it in the demo before, and it would be better that the person, the user that uploads the content before the meeting, the PPT content, will be the organizer. Okay? So you can do that the previous day, maybe 1 hour before, whenever you have time. And that means that when you have you join your last meeting experience, the content will be there already uploaded to the meeting. Then you declare you just joined your link meeting experience, and you see that the content it's okay, that you can go advance the PPT decks properly. You will set up a second person helping you as a moderator, you know, and we will see later how to disable IM and use Q&A session or Q&A feature whenever, for example, in a training session. Like, for example, I'm talking right now, and after the meeting, at the end of the meeting, we have some meeting minutes dedicated to Q&A. Maybe you want to, you know, like in the large meetings, there will be like 10 minutes at the exact time of the joining the meeting, okay, that will people start joining. So that can take 5 minutes, 10 minutes. So you can upload maybe some slides show and share the rules of the meeting or the protocols on how is the meeting experience going to be taking place during the meeting. If you want to record the meeting, so you just test it, and well, you just make yourself sure that you have your link clients working, okay? So just half an hour, 60 minutes before, the presenter, the organizer, will join the meeting. So he is prepared, you know, that everybody will be joining at the exact time. So he's already in the meeting, okay? Be sure that the organizer, the presenters, use a wired connection to internet. It's better right now that if you use Wi-Fi, because you're going to share content, you're going to share video, so better to be hardwired to the internet, okay? And not rely on Wi-Fi connections that could be not so optimizing in terms of quality. Ensure that the audio is okay, that the attendees that will be joining will be muted. And, well, have in the computer the least number of applications, email open, Skype, or whatever, so you don't have the experience of maybe the Skype window, you know, or the link window coming up and the pop-ups during the meeting. So you want to share that during the meeting, okay? So we're going to go to a small demo because I'm running out of time. Okay, so we will go to the demo here. So we saw that we are in the meeting already. So for the purpose of being faster, I already uploaded, okay, the meeting content, okay? So I'm going to put the link web app experience, and then I'm going to show, the link meeting, okay? So I'm here as a presenter, Sandra. We have Freddy Krueger. We have this guy, Herman, participants and some attendees, okay? If I go on the roster of having the presenters and what the presenter can share, you can see that I have rights to present, upload PowerPoint, a whiteboard, desktop, Q&A poll, and also change, or I uploaded already two different PPTs, so I can go and change the experience, and you will see uploading the PPTs, okay? It's taking a little, okay, we have it now. So I can show you here as a presenter if I continue, okay, on the go ahead with the PowerPoints, you will see the experience of a remote user, okay? So there might be a delay. As I told you, you might want to have the experience of what is the remote user experiences when I go back and forth, you know, with the content of the meeting. To highlight that Monster is an assistant, okay, in the Lean Web App. So, an assistant, an attendee. So he has no rights, as you can see here, to present or upload anything. You know, as an attendee, you don't have the rights. From organizer and presenter, if I want to provision the attendees as presenters, I can do it from here. Okay, so I have control who is a presenter and who is an attendee all the time. So I will show you the new features right now, okay, during the meeting, and then we will end up with the video demo, okay? So new features that were added, okay, to link meeting experience, okay, and the large meeting. So one useful thing is that we will see that later in the demo, to log the video, okay, of the person that is speaking, and that means when normal meetings, you have the gallery view, and you have a lot of people, you know, the speakers moving and speaking, so you better have the unique experience of the people, of the person that is speaking or presenting that time. So you will log the video. You have that capability. We also, or in Link 2013 with the latest update during this year, have the option of mute IM experience during the meeting, and that can be very useful because if you have a lot of people, 1,000 users, clicking and collaborating, say, because, you know, normally we are humans, we want to show our opinions, and if we don't have video, we don't have audio, and we have IM, we will write and comments, and we don't really care if it affects the meeting experience or even the presenter or the moderators. So there, every time there's a person, a user, a participant clicking a session, an IM, it will be like a click, ding, 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 of declaring, you know, that someone sent a notification, that someone sent an IM, an audio notification. That can be annoying. So it's better for the presenter, the organizer, to mute that. And you can open a Q&A session, okay? Also, we will see new features supported in the recording experience and what happens with the roster manager, okay? So log videos, video spotlight when you're in during the meeting. What you can do is go to the window of the speaker that you want to log the video, and you just click log the video. And that will be the only source that everybody will see during the meeting experience. Okay? Just the presenter, not the rest. Roster manager. Okay, so you saw during my demo, you have a few users, participants in the meeting. So you will have the view of the roster with who is a participant, all the participants, sorry, and who is a presenter and who is an attendee. So when when we arrange organized meetings above 70 participants and we have the meeting experience in real time, and there are over 75 participants, the meeting experience or the link server will send a message saying that the participant list, the roster, will be hidden. We won't have that experience. And we will have, all the participants, we will have a notification saying that we've changed your layout for the best, largest meeting experience. So there's a lot of people in the meeting. We won't show the gallery view, the participant leads, and the IAM errors. Remember before I told you when we configure conferencing policy, if we said allow large meetings to choose, this is what is going to happen, okay? So no gallery view for videos, no IAM errors, no participant list. Here's the experience where we can, I'll show you in a minute, where you can change the IAM. You can do it, as I told you before, when you prepare your meeting invite in the meeting options, but if you disable that, you won't be able to enable again during the large meeting. So it's better that you do it during the large meeting. Okay, so you will be able to enable, disable that. The Q&A feature, if we don't have an AM enabled, then we give the option to the participants to at least address questions they have in a manner that it's organized. So when we click that Q&A button experience, we will have a second screen showing the different questions, and the moderator will be able to answer the questions that the participants have. This can be quite useful for training purposes. One cool thing is that you can stop the Q&A and you can save it in a file, so you have all the questions in a file in your machine, in your local machine. Okay, and then you can share it later. And then the rest, the last recording, new feature, sorry, is the options to when you enable recording. And at the beginning, with Link 2013, the only option that we had for the recording file that we generated with Link 2013, Link will generate a file in the local PC of the person that is going to record the meeting. Normally, it would be a presenter or the organizer, and can be activated from two different machines, for example. You can do it from two different machines, so you are 100% secure that someone recorded the session. So you have a backup recording in someone else's PC. So the meeting experience will be recording all the experience that is being held during the meeting. So audio, IM messages, content, and video in a MP4 format, okay? And then once you have that file comprised and ready in your local machine, you can upload it to be able to be shared maybe to a SharePoint or in the intranet, so everybody can have that meeting recorded. So here, the new options are that you can set the quality or the resolution of your recording, okay? So you, for example, if you do in HD, in full format, full HD, of course the recording file will be larger, but you will have the best experience during the recording with the video. Or you can comprise it to maybe 4:8p, so the quality won't be so good, but the file will be so large, and maybe you can see that experience to, you know, recorded or to be seen later from a mobile, for example, or a tablet, okay? And this is the experience of the features, as I told you, with the roster. So if there's a, we have a meeting and there are more than 75%, we will have that notification, all the users. And, well, there's one thing that maybe you have, is a, like anecdote, but you really have to know this, okay? That you can see here that the you won't be able, you have the, there's more than 75 people. So here we have 383 participants already, but see, I had the notification and I'm attendee, I'm attending as an attendee, but I can see the participant list. So are you telling me the truth or not? So really what it means that you can only see you yourself as an attendee, and it means that there are more than 75 attendees, so that in the meeting experience you won't be able to see those attendees, the number above 75, but there are only three presenters, so you are able to see who is presenting. If there were more than 75 presenters, then you will have the really compressed experience of not seeing the participant list at all, okay? So this is something remarkable here, okay? And I have 3 minutes left. I just want to show you that one feature that one thing that you maybe are not aware or maybe you know that but many customers are asking us, and I hope that in the next version we can support this, but okay, one a lot of customers ask, can we share a video during the link meeting experience, you know? And maybe the first thing that you will take in account is like, okay, so I share my desktop, I play the video file, and then the rest of the people joining the link meeting will be able to see that video, okay, through, but I'm sharing my desktop. So that's not a good option to share a video, okay, video file, because the desktop experience is very limited on the frame resolution. So it's like the speed that the frame per second supports is like 8 frames per second. So the video experience where we play a video, it's not going to be good. The audio will be crappy. The video is not going to be being visible in the optimized way. So a workaround to do is just we can embed video files into PowerPoints. And within the meeting experience, either link meeting, large meeting, or any kind of meeting, you can upload a video, a PPT, that has a video embedded. Okay, so I have prepared here another PPT, okay? And I've embedded a video. So I'm running out of time. I'm just going to show these. If you want to know how to do that, maybe I can tell you later on if you don't know how to do it, because it takes a while. But I wanted to finish this with, you know, sharing with you, like, it's Halloween, so we have some fun, and I'm going to show you the video I prepared, okay? So now,
watch it.
So I just wanted to show you the experience, you know, that the presenter, the organizer is really playing the video file through the PPT, and what is the experience of someone in the remote, you know, as a remote user. And sometimes you take into account the network conditions and you could have a delay, you know, on the transmission of the video. But fair enough, you can share a video, you know, during your link meeting presentation, and you're secure. You have another option that maybe you are not aware. So things that you have to have in time, in place, that how you prepare this video, it could take you a while, but it's easy, and there's a supportive way to share content, video content during large meeting. So I think this is the last slide of my presentation. I hope you have enjoyed the presentation. I'm running out of time. If you have any questions, I'm here for some minutes if you have some doubts about large meeting experience. I hope you have a good time, and thank you for attending the session. Okay.